Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
There's a lot of people that have a misunderstanding of shouting and praising and worshiping. And let me just preface what I'm about to say by saying this, that what I'm going to say does not refer to this church, but there's a lot of people that think that if I could just shout without having any kind of relationship with God, I believe there's power in shouting and power in praising and power in worshiping. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus, but a lot of people believe that I don't ever have to live for God, walk with God, but I could just shout. And the walls are going to come down. But before Israel ever shouted the walls of Jericho down in defeat, as I heard Pastor just say, there was a sanctification that took place first for 3 days. And then there was a walking for 7 days that took place. The power of the shout was derived from their daily walk with Christ. I read 1 Samuel chapter 4 late last night and found where Israel went into battle in the promised land against the Philistines. And this is a moment where they weren't living for God. They weren't walking with God. And they went into battle and they lost 300 men that day. And they panicked. And so they went and found the Ark of the Covenant. It was a little dusty. It had been sitting on the bookshelf for a while, unopened and unexperienced. And they pulled it off the shelf, dusted it off, and said, all right, now we're going to win. And they came and carried the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the fullness of God's presence. And they brought it into battle. And the Bible says that there was such excitement in the people of God that they began to shout because they knew that the Ark of the Covenant's here now. We're going to win. And there was such a shout, it says, that even the ground began to shake. So they went into battle. And they lost, I think it was 30,000. They lost 30,000 soldiers that day. They were defeated even though they had the Ark of the Covenant. And I wrote this down. I said they had a loud shout, but they had a weak walk. Amen. And I wrote this down. I said, you can't shout with a voice of triumph until you walk with a heart of submission. Amen. So what I bring to you tonight, I know this church. This ain't hot air. This ain't fluff. I've known this church for many years now. And I know this church, you walk with God. And when you walk with God, you have the right and you have the privilege to come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You have the right to look the walls of Jericho in the face and begin to shout and expect victory. Victory. Victory is mine. Why don't you lift up a voice of praise? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, let the church shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Jesus' name. Psalm 23. I didn't give them this. They have 800 verses. And this was the one I didn't give them. But this is a good one. A lot of people are familiar with this. And if you think you're not familiar with this, just wait till the chorus. And you'll say, oh yeah, I know that. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, He is my provider. I'm not going to be wanting. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, He's in charge. Amen. Verse 3. He restores my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'm going to read that again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy, watch this, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to draw what I have to say tonight from verse 3 that says, he leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That's why I'll draw my title, if there needs to be one, for his name's sake. And you may be seated tonight in Jesus' name. On Tuesday night, I believe it was, I spoke to you about the death of a miracle if you were here. And I spoke to you about the process and the pathway to the miraculous. And I believe that this church is literally stepping into the miraculous right now. I don't want anybody to ever say the miracles are coming. They're around the corner. They're here right now. What's happened is that God has begun. The Bible speaks of when God begins a work. It says he is faithful to complete that work, faithful to perform it. And I believe that God has begun that work right now. So you're allowed to say it's going to get better or it's going to get bigger, but don't say it's on the way, it's coming down the road, you know, just hold on. But no, it's here right now. And I spoke the other night about the death of the miracle, which the death of the miracle is our consecration and our sacrifice. And when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees concerning the kingdom of God, because they were asking about when the kingdom of God would come, which would be the greatest miracle to ever take place, because when his kingdom comes, he's going to take his church out of this place and we're going to live with him in heaven for all of eternity. And they're wondering when this miracle is going to take place, and Jesus gives them a little prophetic insight of this miracle. But yet when he finishes his 3-verse dissertation concerning the logistics and all that would take place concerning this miracle of the kingdom, he stops and says, but first I must suffer. Yeah. But first I must suffer. Before I can perform, before I can work, before I can pour out, before I can demonstrate, I must die. Because preceding the demonstration of the miraculous, there must be a death of man. There must be a death of ourselves. And we had a great prayer service, the altar call that night, that we died out to some things. And it's not always sin that we're dying out to, but it's distraction oftentimes that we have to die out to, because the Bible says that we must lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, or so easily distract us, or so easily take us away from the purpose and plan that God has established for us. We have many things in our life today that will not keep you from heaven when he calls us home, but they will keep you from demonstrating his power in this life today. And I'm thankful in this church that we have a group of apostolic men and apostolic women that have made up their mind that I will do whatever it takes to see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Oh, I feel like speaking faith tonight and releasing this word into your spirit. It's not time to go back. It's not time to compromise what we are and who we are. I tell you tonight, it's time to stand. I don't want one soul to go to hell. But if somebody wants to be lost for criticizing a man or woman of God, let them be lost by themselves. Don't go be lost with them. You just keep on walking and you just keep on believing. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why in Exodus chapter 4, I find it so intriguing. I talk about it a lot, the story of Moses. When God came to him, he was 80 years old on the backside of the wilderness. And the bush rolls up in Exodus 3 and says, Moses, you're just what I've been looking for. I've been waiting this whole time. I'm ready to use you. I'm ready to use you. Oh, I'm ready to use you. I'm ready to use you. And his fear of criticism, his fear of failure, his fear of doubt and belief and insecurity, intimidation, inadequacy was clouding his mind of faith. There was a moment where Moses was hearing the cry of the people himself, which is why he killed an Egyptian. But 40 years later, he could no longer hear that cry. So God comes to him in Exodus 3 and says, the cry of my people is coming to me because you can't hear it anymore. You're safe. You're safe, and you don't hear their burden of depression and in slavery anymore. You don't see what they're going through, their poverty, their pain, their grief. The cry has come to me, but the call has come to you. It's time to go, Moses. He says, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know the story. You know some of it at least. And God says, what's in your hand? A rod. It's a rod, God. It's just a shepherd's staff. He says, throw it down. It becomes a snake. The way that I see that, I preach some of it here, but the way I see that for this church is God was saying your current identity as a shepherd is compromised in comparison to my calling. It's just a snake. It's just a snake. He said, I know it's taking care of your family. I know it's putting food on the table. I know it's giving you a decent income. I know you're provided for, but it's just a snake. I've got something better for you, Moses. He said, stick your hand, or he picks up the rod. It becomes the snake, and it becomes a rod. He says, put your hand into your cloak, pull it out, and it becomes leprous. Some of you might remember this from last week. I'm just rehearsing some of this because I want to show you something very quickly, but he pulls it out, and it's leprosy, which was a type in those days of sin. Where there was leprosy, we know that there was sin. And he said, I know there's sin in your life. I know you've lived as an Egyptian and served false gods and idols. And I know you killed an Egyptian. And I know your past, Moses. He was telling him when he pulled his hand out and it was full of leprosy. He was in essence saying, I already know about your past. Don't bring your past and put it in my face. Don't use your past as an excuse, Moses. You see, today we have the cross to run to. And I tell you this word of faith, that any time you use your past as an excuse, you're saying that your past is stronger than his sacrifice. You're saying, God, my weakness is stronger than your crucifixion, than your cross, than your sacrifice, God. That's what we're saying. So we're not going to use that, and you don't. We've moved on beyond that. But I want to show you something very quickly. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so you find in Exodus 5, he tells, let me see here, in Exodus 5 and 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Excuse me, let me digress here. Exodus 4 and 30, it says that they go to Pharaoh and they go to the Jewish people, the Israelite, the Hebrew children. And he was afraid of how he would convince them. Watch this. He was afraid of how he would convince them that he was actually called of God. And God said, well, the miracles I did for you with the rod and the staff, you can do those for the people. He said, you can take some water and turn it into blood. And he said, you can perform in order to convince. You can perform in order to persuade if you really have to. It's never been the heart of God for him to have to perform for us to be persuaded. So Moses, Aaron speaks all the words the Lord was spoke. And then Moses, watch this in verse 30. He did the signs. He performed in the sight of the people. 31. So the people believed. They were convinced. The foundation of their belief was built upon performance. There's a problem with that, because what if God chooses not to perform? Or what if God's performance is different from our expectations? It reminds me of, and I got to go down this rabbit trail. It's a 30-second rabbit trail. But I was reading in Job. When Job had lost his entire family, he had lost his kids, he lost his marriage, he lost his friends, he lost his dignity in the city, he lost his cattle, he lost his everything he had. And he's now telling his friends, he said, I thought I was going to die a wealthy man surrounded by my family, an old man. I really thought I was going to die surrounded by my family, old and in my bed. Now, he wasn't cursing God, but he had compromised the calling of God. He had compromised the expectation of faith, because he had settled there in his defeat and in his loss. Oh, Jesus. He had settled there in this place of loss where he said, well, God took everything I had, and I really thought I was going to die with all my stuff. He didn't curse God, but he stopped believing that God was going to do the miraculous in his life. Which is why at some point when he turns it around, and I said this last week, when he says, I don't know where God is, north, south, east, and west, I can't find him. He said, but I've still got faith, because I know that he knows where I am. He said, and when he's done testing me, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. And we know that God ended up multiplying his possessions. My point is, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, don't compromise what God is about to do on the other side of the valley. So watch this. So in Exodus 5:22, he's frustrated because he goes to Pharaoh and says, let him go. He says, not today, Moses. And Moses is frustrated and goes to God and says, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why did you send me? 23, for since I came, watch what he says. I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name. He's done evil to this people. But you haven't done your part. You haven't delivered your people at all. I'm speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost. There's been times, and some of you are facing it right now, where you've said, I've done everything you've asked me to do, but you have not done what you promised you would do. What's the problem, God? I've done my part, but you have not delivered the captive. What is the problem? And in the same conversation, verse chapter 6, verse 2, God speaks to Moses and says, I am Lord. In other words, I'm in charge. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Everybody say, God Almighty. God Almighty. He said, I appeared to the patriarchs of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was not known to them.
That's good. Come on.
I'm going to have to preach an hour and a half tonight. He says, Moses. Moses is sitting there saying, I've done my part. I did what you had been doing. You ain't done your part. What the problem, Lord? And his response was this. I haven't done my part yet, but I've revealed my name to you in such a way that I didn't even reveal to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You may not have my performance yet, but you've got my name. Am I preaching to Portland Pentecostals? I said, he may not have lived up to your expectation, but you've got his name. time. I'm frustrated. I'm a little bit frustrated. I'm not covered and overwhelmed with anger, but I'm a little bit frustrated. I spent a year with this knee problem. He didn't heal it, but God did perform a miracle. I don't have time. I told you last week, He performed a miracle for me to have surgery. And while I was at home in surgery, we were able to win a family to church that week, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm saying, God, all right, family's in church. Now heal my knee. Hadn't healed it yet. And I feel like I'm saying, God, where's my healing? And God said, hey, are you not satisfied with what I've done for you yet? I've given you my name. He said, I gave them a promise that they didn't even see, but I gave you my name. You find, I got to hurry, I'm so sorry, I'm taking so long. But you find in Exodus chapter 7, and it's always bugged me, of the process of which He delivered the captive in Egypt. Why didn't you just kill him? Why didn't you just take out Pharaoh to begin with, God? Why didn't you just do it the easy way, God? He answered that question in chapter 7, and you read verses 1. Through 1 through 5, but jumping down for sake of time to verse 3. He's telling Moses the threefold purpose of the process leading to the miraculous. He says, Moses, this is why I'm not going to do it the easy way. I've got a plan. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to make it hard. Your pathway to deliverance. Because, number one, I'm going to multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Number 2, verse 4. Pharaoh won't listen to you. So I'm going to lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. That word judgments is also known as demonstrations. He's going to judge the people. He says, I'm going to bring you out. Number 3, watch this. This is what I focus on right now because I've given you just a portion of this before, but this is what we focus on is verse 5. The third reason God is hardening the process. Everybody say hardening the process. Hardening the process. God, make it easy. No, I want to show you something. Verse 5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. But here's the little Bible study. Go to that part. Where is it? They will know that I am the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you find the word Lord in all capitals, what it means is Yahweh, or what we call Jehovah. That is the original name of God before it was revealed in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. This is the name of God before God came in flesh. Jehovah. The name Jesus translates to Jehovah has become my salvation. That's the fullness of the name of God, but Jesus was not born yet. So in this day, Jehovah was the name of God. And when you see that word, Lord, in all capitals, it translates to Jehovah, which is the name of God. So watch this. He says, Moses, I didn't reveal my name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I've put you in prison for 400 plus years. And when I'm going to bring you out, I'm going to make the process so hard, but there's a purpose to me hardening the process. To reveal my name to the ones that have held you captive. I just feel like pausing. I've been preaching long enough, but I got to hurry. That God has spared you for a purpose. That God has delivered you for a purpose. And that purpose goes beyond attending church. And that purpose goes beyond just coming on Sundays and Tuesdays. That purpose is for the namesake of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you read in chapter 9, verse 15, let's go really fast now. God speaks to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, you think you're in charge, Bubba? He says, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, watch God. He's speaking to Pharaoh. He says, Pharaoh, I have raised you up. I put your problem on the throne that I may show my power where? In you. And watch this. And that my name may be declared in all the earth. Your homework is to read how God hardened the process over the next few chapters, over the next five chapters, and you finally see it in chapter 13 that God delivers them, but he doesn't take them the easy way in chapter 14. I've talked about it. He doesn't take them the fast way, the shortcut. They pull out their GPS and Siri saying, get back on the path. Get back to your route. Get back over here. And God said, no, not today. You ain't going the easy way, because if you go the easy way, I won't be able to reveal my name. I'm going to take you to a Red Sea. I'm going to put your nose right on the waters of impossibility. I'm going to face you with things that you thought you would never be able to overcome. I feel a word of faith. God put them in front of a situation that there was no testimony for. They couldn't look back to anybody in their past and say, well, he's divided the Red Sea before, so he can do it again. No. He said, I'm about to do things you've never seen or heard. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what I'm about to do. They're out of Egypt. They're out of slavery. They're out of bondage. But his purpose hasn't been revealed yet. Do you hear me tonight? You've come out of the world. You've come out of darkness into his marvelous light. I feel the Holy Ghost. You've come out of your sin and out of your worldliness and out of your confusion and all of the captivity that you have lived in throughout your life. He brought you out of Egypt, but he said there's still a purpose that's even greater than just your freedom. It is the revelation of my name. I want people to see my name in you. Oh, yes. Some of you are starting to get it. Some of you are starting to get it. So the Israelites, they're faced at the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptian army. And they said, Moses, what's your problem, Bubba? Is it better to be, it's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness? And Moses, you'll remember some of this. This is why I brought this back tonight, because we ended the last revival on this word of prophecy that I feel for this church, but we're going a little bit deeper this time. And Moses, in verse 13 of chapter 14, Moses finally preached. He was called to preach 10 or 11 chapters before, but he refused to preach. He refused to speak. He refused to prophesy. He refused the calling of God. So he had to use Aaron to speak and Moses to perform. But finally, in the middle of a rock and a hard place, in the middle between the Red Sea and ocean and the Egyptians, he finally says, well, it's time for me to speak. Do not be afraid. Stand still. We were singing Wait on the Lord tonight. And this church knows that that don't mean sitting back with your arms folded. Because watch what he says. Stand still only lasts for a few words. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he is a prophecy, watch, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me, Moses? You've got what it takes. Watch, tell the children of Israel, go forward. Just two verses after he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. God says, okay, they've been still enough. Go back and tell them, go forward. But there was no place to go forward. forward. There was no forward to go. Forward was death. It was an ocean. The waves were leaping in front of them. There was no dry path. And they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the vision to see. Oh, this is about, watch this. I've read the end of the story when I was in Sunday school. They didn't know what was about to happen. But God said, Moses, I want you to lift up your rod. That was just a shepherd's rod at one point. And I want you to stretch out your hand, which was full of leprosy at one point, and divide this obstacle. I want you to divide this territory. I'm about to perform the miraculous unlike they have ever seen before. And so God divides the waters. But it wasn't over. He hadn't revealed his name to the Egyptians yet. So the Bible says in verse 16, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians again so that they'll chase after you. Stop giving the devil so much credit. Maybe God's the one that said, devil, go ahead. Go get them. But you're going to regret the day you ever went after my apostolic people. You're going to regret the day you ever messed with my church. He says, go after them, Egypt. Go chase them. Go get them. I dare you. I'm about to reveal my name. Go get them. And it says in verse 18, the Egyptians shall know. He told them, he said, go after them because the Egyptians are about to know in verse 18 that I am Jehovah, my name. Verse 19, he moved behind them and he pushed them in. He pushed them in to that Red Sea. They went chasing after them. In verse 23, it says, the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea and Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar and the fire of the cloud. He troubled the army of the Egyptians. Verse 25, you might remember this part. And the moment they stepped into the Red Sea, he took off their chariot wheels because they were trying to go through baptism. The Red Sea is the Old Testament type for our baptism. And God said, I dare you to try to get them through baptism. Wait, it's not over. He said, go ahead, try to penetrate my blood. Watch this. He took off the chariot wheels the moment they tried to get through baptism, the Red Sea. He said, you can't go through baptism. So they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, watch what the Egyptians, not the apostolics, the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel for the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You're about to get a Bible study from the Egyptians on the name of God. Because when they tried to go where? Through baptism. God said, here's my name. And they looked up and said, Jehovah fights for them. How do you reveal the name of God to your world? Through the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So the story goes that when they tried to get through baptism, they got a revelation of the name of God in the middle of baptism. He closed the waters and he killed every last one of those soldiers that was trying to defeat the children of God. And so guess what the people began to do?
Hallelujah.
I need my praise team up here. Need my praise team. Guess what they began to do? They praised. But I guarantee you this, You don't know what they praised. You don't know what they said in the middle of their praise. God gave them a revelation of the name too. Are you ready? It was a prophetic praise. Are you ready? At least a head nod or something. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Jehovah and spoke, saying, I will sing to Jehovah. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Verse 2. Jehovah is my strength and song. Wait, here it is. What did I tell you? What did I tell you the name of Jesus means? Yeshua. It means Jehovah has become our salvation. Watch what they said. And he, Jehovah, has become my salvation. They said, he is my God, and I will praise him. Watch this. Hold on, listen. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Watch, this is the first prophecy you'll find of God being a man. Verse 3, Jehovah is a man of war. Wait. Yes. Jehovah is his name. I did not preach this message to wow you with some pieces of revelation I found through the grace of God. For the Lord showed me this. To give you the revelation that is about to lead you into the miraculous like you have never seen before. And the revelation is, God, everything I am, everything I do, everything I face, everything I go through is all for your name's sake. You lead me on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And if I've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you just lift up your hands for a moment? Oh, God, it's about your name, God. All the hell I've been through, it was about your name. I'm sorry, I didn't notice it, God, when people lied about me and they ridiculed me, God, because I was just trying to do what's right, God. When my money disappeared and my reputation disappeared, God, I'm sorry I didn't lift my eyes under the hills and realize that it was all about your name. name, but I see it now. I see it now. I see it now. I see it. It's all about the name of Jesus Christ. God said, Pharaoh, I'm about to reveal my name through you. I speak to every spirit of addiction and I declare God's about to reveal his name through you, addiction. I speak to every spirit of suicidal thinking. And by the authority of the Word of God, he's about to reveal his name through that spirit of suicidal thinking, of depression, of doubt, of unbelief, of defeat and failure, over fear and insecurity and intimidation. Every spirit, every Pharaoh in your life, God is about to use to reveal the power of the name Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. I want to pause this music. We're going to play it in the next few seconds. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see that Pharaoh that's come against you. I want you to see that Red Sea that's been in front of you. I want you to see that opposition that's been coming behind you. I can't name what your Pharaoh is, but you know. When I say in the name of Jesus, I want everybody with faith that is ready to be used of God for the revelation of his name, I want you to come to this altar as fast as you can the very moment I say in the name of Jesus. When I say that in the name of Jesus, I want you to step out as fast and quickly as you can. And I feel a burden on my spirit that the glory of the Holy Ghost is going to sweep through this church like a rushing mighty wind. Would you lift your hands right now? And would you see your Pharaoh coming down? Would you see your obstacle coming down? Would you see your walls crumbling down? Would you see your storm ceasing? Would you see it right now by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus? I want you to come right now with faith for the miraculous. With faith for the miraculous. With faith for the miraculous.